Thank you, Dorothy. Now, if you would stand, join me in our call to worship. Our hope is in God all of our lives. God is a rock of refuge and a fortress against threat and shame. God has held us since our birth. We are never in the full grasp of the unjust and cruel. In love, God saves and supports us. Now, we got a song sheet. We are going to sing Wonderful Words of Life. Trust in the one who made us and redeemed us. Let's confess our sins. God of life, we admit to you and to each other that we have not always lived lives of love. We have lost patience and been rude. We have been irritable and insisted on our own way. We have even let love end. Forgive us and heal us, dear Lord. Through Jesus Christ, your love incarnate. Amen. God has loved us since the beginning, and God's love for us will never end. Do not fear, therefore, but have faith in God's steadfast love, God's healing power, and God's ability to make all things new. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. May the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, and also with you. Now have the Lord's parting.
Thank you.
may be seated. Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Malachi 3:1-4. Old Testament 889 in your pew Bible. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the days of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as the refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the levities and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years.
Jason Parsons, and we really appreciate that. The first one comes from 1970, and it's cardboard and wallpaper. Cindy took it home to repair the windows that had gotten damaged, and she found out who made it, and she kept some of the pieces that she took out to help replace it, because as she touched it, it was starting to come apart. And it was made by H.J. Wilson in November of 1970. And to our understanding, it comes from the First Presbyterian Church on Ridge Avenue, one of our founding churches. And we are so appreciate Cindy's work. And I'm going to have you hold this for me. We are going to put Jason's picture, and it's also with his wife, on the back wall of the church with the year that it was made and given to us, so that we have the history of that. This gift is given to the glory of God. Let it serve as a reminder to God of God's grace in our midst and of the value of our community of faith in this place. Let it also serve to call us to deeper devotion and richer service. And we have a couple of Bible verses here. We are receiving this gift and recognizing the talents, the ability to create. Throughout the Bible, we find numerous references to the giving and receiving of gifts, both things that we can see and touch and things that are spiritual. So these verses remind us of the blessings we receive from God, but also emphasize the importance of generosity and gratitude. From James chapter 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. This reminds us that every blessing we receive is a reflection of God's love. It encourages us to acknowledge Him as a source of all goodness and to cultivate a heart of gratitude. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. This one teaches us that our talents and abilities are gifts from God, intended to be used for the benefit of others. This promotes a sense of stewardship and responsibility in how we use the gifts that we receive. And Proverbs 18:16. A gift opens the way and ushers the giver into the presence of the great. This verse can be seen as a reminder of how generosity and giving can pave the way for new opportunities. It also reflects the cultural value placed on gift giving as a means of establishing connections. Let us pray. Eternal God, accept our praise and thanksgiving for your faithfulness and love. We thank you for the extravagance of your grace and the wise tenderness of your creativity evident around us. Instead of a world that contains only the useful and the expedient, you created a world of extravagant beauty and joy. Instead of creating people who are motivated only to work, you create people with a capacity for rejoicing and worship. Instead of enduring our anxious hoarding and grasping, you call us to generosity and hope. Instead of a community that is an expression of only what is practical and utilitarian, your church is a community whose purpose is worship, whose nature is love, whose energy is joy, and whose life is filled with glad thanksgiving. For encouraging us to create beauty that nurtures the spirit, we thank you. For the eternal circle of giving and receiving that is our life in you, we offer you praise. In the name of Jesus our Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay, we will be placing the original white church that has served so faithfully in the parlor, in a special place, with this plaque on the wall so that all will know the history of the little white church. And we will bring it out each year when we have our pledge cards. And we thank Cindy for her restoration work, along with her granddaughter Sadie, and her discovery of the Maker. We now rededicate the original white church and dedicate the new church. For the gifts of these churches, we give you thanks. We dedicate them to your glory and ask your blessing. May they be tangible symbols of your presence among us and the faith and love that inspires all acts of generosity and kindness. May our life together be an expression of the holiness of our worship through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for that time of dedication and for the gift of the church, and may it continue to be find a prominent place in our narthex and also the former church in the parlor. Before I begin the scripture reading and the sermon, I'd like to remind everybody we are still taking donations. Mission Committee is still taking donations for the wildfires. There's a glass jar out in the narthex if you would like to donate to that. I am going to break up today's reading into two parts. The first part is Luke 2:22, and I will end with 24, and then I will do part of the lesson, and then I will continue with the rest of the scripture. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Relationships with God and with other people can exist in many ways. We have read stories in the Bible of relationships between people and groups of people, which also included a relationship with God. Some of these relationships and interactions involved God's laws or commandments. As we have often learned, the Lord handed down many laws during the Old Testament time. There were actually 613 laws in the Torah, which are the first five books of the Old Testament. There were several ceremonies Jewish families were required to go through following the birth of a child. Every Jewish boy was circumcised on the eighth day after birth, which symbolized their separation from the Gentiles and their unique relationship with God. Verses 22 through 24 discuss two other ceremonies. Joseph and Mary took Jesus to the temple for the redemption of the firstborn. This ritual was to take place a month after the birth. The ceremony included buying back or redeeming the child through an offering. By doing so, the parents acknowledged that the child belonged to God. Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to the temple at the time of purification, according to the law of Moses. For 40 days after the birth of a son, the mother was ceremonially unclean and could not enter the temple. Incidentally, this period of time was 80 days for the birth of a daughter. At the end of her time of separation from the temple, the parents were to bring a lamb for burnt offering and a dove or a pigeon for a sin offering. The priest would sacrifice these animals and declare the mother to be clean. If the lamb were too expensive, the parents could do as Joseph and Mary had done and bring a second dove or pigeon instead. Continuing with the scripture reading, now Luke 2:25 through 40. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The word of the Lord for the people of God. This part of our scripture reading tells us about Simeon and Anna, two devout elderly members of the temple. Through the Holy Spirit, God had revealed to Simeon that he would not die before he had seen the Messiah. As reported, it was no accident that Simeon was there that day and time. Simeon was moved by the Holy Spirit to enter the temple courts when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus into the temple to fulfill the custom of the law of God. Mary and Joseph were in awe, learning from Simeon that their child was a gift from God and that he would do great things as the Messiah. Simeon also told them that, unfortunately, people would either accept or reject Jesus as the Messiah. We have learned the accuracy of this prediction throughout the time of Jesus' ministry, as well as in today's time. Anna had been widowed after 7 years of marriage. She was 84 years old, never left the temple, and prayed and fasted daily. One of my sources indicated that she may have been widowed 84 years rather than being 84 years of age. She also met Mary and Joseph, and she talked to them about Jesus' role in the redemption of Jerusalem. Anna and Simeon never lost hope that they would see the Messiah. They were blessed with the opportunity to meet him as a baby and were able to give encouragement to the parents. Relationships with God the Father, Jesus his Son, and the Holy Spirit, relationships with one another, and encouragement for one another. That is what I witness with Trinity's support through our mission projects. I have often heard three different phrases over the years. One is, "Where did you see God today?" Another is, "May we see the face of Jesus in those we meet and serve?" A third one asks, "Where have you felt the presence of the Holy Spirit?" I will be weaving these thoughts together as I focus on a few of our church's mission projects, thus reminding everyone of how we touch the lives of others. We support many groups and people locally and globally with monetary gifts and tangible items. If you read the mission section of the annual report, you can realize all the ways we express the love of Jesus. Jesus taught us to serve, and he preached that what we do for the least of us, we do for him. During his ministry, Jesus lived what he preached with love, fairness, and justice. If we are to have a relationship with Jesus, we also need to discover ways to build relationships with those whom we serve. My first focus will be on the Fellowship of Christ Community, an outreach of Central Presbyterian, which began in 1979. The fellowship is the recipient of our tri-giving offering for January through April. The tri-giving envelope offerings are received in these brown envelopes found in the pew racks. The fellowship has undergone many changes since it began, but the focus has always been on fellowship and relationships. When I began volunteering there over 17 years ago, there was an adult reading group, a sewing group, and a worship service after the meal. A simple bell choir, which actually performed here a couple of times in the past, grew out of that reading class. The smiles and sense of pride of the students and the feeling of community was felt by many as we played in different churches. I believe many congregation members felt the presence of God and saw the face of Jesus during those times. Unfortunately, the onset of COVID, post-COVID times, and other circumstances have reduced the fellowship to a late afternoon meal, a food giveaway from food donated by different retail companies, and a time for attendees to spend over an hour together in conversation, coffee, warmth on cold days, coolness on the blistering warm days, and a warm meal with the option of seconds. The current directors, a husband and wife team, who have previously had other roles in the fellowship, have experienced their share of struggles in the past. Their stories are not mine to share, but because of their struggles, they can offer heartfelt prayers and sincere empathy. They offer a welcoming atmosphere with minimal and gentle rules, and they build genuine and friendly relationships with those we serve. The directors offer a sincere prayer before the meal, and they emphasize the importance of every individual without judgment. They have also encouraged the guests to truly be part of this community by helping to clean the tables after the meal. Our support helps this downtown program to continue. Our offering for the Muskingum County Hunger Network also benefits the fellowship, as well as other food pantries and hot meal programs. Fortunately, with the food from stores and the ability to obtain much food at reduced prices or even for free from the Mid-Ohio Food Bank, wonderful meals can be prepared. Some of our guests often come in to help unload some of the donated food during the week. Again, this helps them to truly feel as if they are part of the community and boosts their self-worth. I am thankful that I am the person who hands the plates of food out for our guests to pick up. Because I am able to see them face to face and perhaps see the face of Jesus in them, I am able to exchange smiles and snippets of conversation, listen to their troubles and joys of the day, hear their thank yous, and listen to their compliments about the delicious food our co-director Tana has prepared. The relationships are many among the directors, volunteers, and guests. It is a privilege to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this program, and I am grateful that Trinity continues to support this ministry. My next focus is on the overnight shelter at First United Methodist Church. We have collected various needed items over the years for them, and last year I delivered 30 blessing bags that the mission committee and other church members assembled after church one Sunday. Marilyn, their church secretary, exhibits the epitome of relationships and love for Jesus. I receive effervescent hugs and words of gratitude when I take things there. She is filled with positive energy and expresses many positive comments about the overnight guests, emphasizing with actions and words that the guests are all loved and are all children of God. Her thank you notes always express the perfect timing our gifts are for fulfilling their needs. She relates well with the overnight guests and other neighborhood residents who come into the free store. I have taken items to the free store that were donated here at Trinity. Marilyn encouraged several people in the free store to help carry in those 30 blessing bags from my car. I am always in awe of what their church is able to offer their neighbors and the relationships the church has developed with their neighbors. My last focus is on both Eastside Community Ministry and Christ's Table. We support both of these agencies with budgeted monetary donations. They are mostly general gifts, but we also have a yearly collection for Eastside's Tools for School project. This past year, we also collected soup, vegetables, and other non-perishable items for Eastside. Trinity members contribute 330 and a half pounds of food for their pantry. Clothes and household items can also be placed in the blue bins in the entryway, and I will deliver them to Eastside. Keely Warden, the director of Christ Table, and Jamie Trout, the director of Eastside, often post on Facebook or include in their newsletters anonymous specifics of how people are served. Eastside offers other programs to serve the area, including a youth program and a women's empowerment program for individual growth and a time for gathering together. Both organizations exhibit and emphasize the importance of relationships. Some of Keely's stories of guests who are having a bad day when they come in are a good reminder that the people they serve are not just numbers, but human beings living in our community. Her stories tug at my heart. Sometimes God places us in the right place at the right time where we need to be. This is an indication of how our mission gifts have a ripple effect. On my third trip to Eastside with our food donations a few months ago, a lady using the food pantry was leaving, as I was. Her hands were full, and I carried a few of her items to her car. She began telling me how her husband recently had to leave a job because of a sudden health issue and disability. Now she reluctantly needed to take advantage of the food pantry. In hindsight, I realized I should have offered to say a prayer with her right then. Instead, I thanked her for sharing her story and told her that I would pray for her and her husband. Even without saying the prayer right then, I definitely felt the presence of the Holy Spirit surrounding the two of us in those moments. Maybe those we serve have a positive relationship with God. Maybe some of those we serve have not developed a relationship with God yet, and perhaps many we serve never will. However, our relationship with God is an important factor in our missional work, and just maybe something we say or do will make a difference in the life of someone whose path crosses ours. Unfortunately, there are many more global and local organizations that need assistance than we as a church can help. Some of us choose to individually donate to different organizations. Some of us are able to physically help and share our time and talents. However, as we bring forth our monetary and tangible gifts, perhaps we can visualize God's work and become ambassadors for Christ, supporting those who are able to be the hands and feet of Jesus, our Savior. As we prepare our hearts and minds for communion, and we remember the significance and sacrifice of Christ's death for us, let us all remember that he continues to live in us today. Let us follow his teachings and examples to reach out to serve the less fortunate, who, like all of us, are God's children. Amen.
Please turn to hymn number 525 and join me in singing, "Here I Am, Lord."
I have heard.
This is the joyful feast of the people of God. People will come from east and west and from north and south to sit at this table in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast that he has prepared. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift our hearts to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Praise to you, O God, for all your works. You created the world and called it good, and made us in your image to live together in love. You made a covenant with us, and even when we turned from you, you remained ever faithful. Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Thank you, O God, for sending us your Son. He lived among us and told your story. He healed the sick and welcomed sinners. He shared our pain and died our death, then rose to new life that we might live and all creation be restored. Remembering your boundless love revealed to us in Jesus Christ, we break bread and share the cup, giving ourselves to you to live for him in joy and praise. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that they may be for us the body and blood of Christ, and that we may be his body for the world. By your Spirit, unite us with Christ and one another until we feast with him and with all your saints in your eternal realms of justice and peace. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Hear us now, O Lord, as we lift up to you our concerns of this day. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this new day that we may gather together to praise and glorify you. We are thankful that we are free to openly worship with you in this space. As we enjoy all the beauty of your creation, may we be mindful that we have been given the responsibility to be good stewards of your creation. Help us to be mindful of this responsibility. As we discover our individual talents and gifts, lead us to utilize these to serve and help one another. We ask that you give us the wisdom to do respect your creation and one another. We pray for those who are suffering in so many ways. We especially pray for the families and loved ones of the victims of this week's plane and helicopter crash. Please comfort them and give them strength as they grieve their losses. Be with those who are part of the recovery team as they face physical and emotional challenges while they carry out their work. Please give strength and hope to the people in the areas where wars and fighting continue, and comfort the victims who face death, injuries, hunger, and other atrocities of war on a daily basis. We pray that the ceasefire in the Middle East continues and that hostages continue to be freed. We celebrate in spirit with those who are able to reunite with their families. We pray for those who are still feeling the effects of the tornadoes, hurricanes, wildfires, and mudslides. May people work together to bring relief and aid during these long-lasting processes. We ask that you be with those in our community without family who feel unloved, lonely, and hopeless. Help us to find new ways to help the homeless, whether this is their choice or circumstances out of their control. May our church continue to visualize the homeless and hungry as your children with individual identities. We pray for the government leaders at all levels around the globe. Grant them wisdom and discernment in their decisions. We are thankful for those who serve others through their chosen careers or by volunteering. May they feel your love and support when they feel as if they are not making a difference. We pray for all those on our prayer list and others we hold close in our hearts. Those who are facing new and ongoing challenges and changes, those dealing with illnesses or upcoming surgeries, we ask that you wrap your loving arms around them to offer comfort, strength, and courage to face each new day. Grant their health professionals continued wisdom and compassion. Please wrap your comforting arms around those who are grieving and feel the sting of loss. Be with our church as we move forward. Help us to open our hearts and minds to new ideas as we also retain our comfortable and traditional ways of worship. May we find ways to weave the old and the new together. May we be vibrant and inviting as we continue to worship and reach out to serve others. We thank you all for all you have given us, but especially the gift of your Son, who taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The same way, he took the cup, saying, This is the cup of the new covenant, sealed in my blood. Shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. Every time you eat this bread and drink this juice, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is the feast of God, the people of God. Let us share in this joyful meal. Thank you. Take and eat. Do this, remember of him. The blood of Christ shed for you, drink in remembrance of him. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for this feast of grace and life. As we have been served, help us to serve our neighbors. As we have been fed, help us to feed all who are hungry. As we have been loved, help us to love the world, because in Christ Jesus you have loved us. Amen. Please stand and join me in our affirmation of faith by reciting the Apostles' Creed, which can be found in the pew card. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing as we sing hymn number 391, Take My Life and Let It Be. Thank you. As you leave here today, many years ago I was taught that once our service ended here, the service begins out in the world. Go out into the world with service in your heart. Look for God's beauty everywhere. Keep it beautiful. Remember, you are stewards of this earth. Go out and look for the face of Jesus in the people you serve, and be the hands and feet of the Jesus who gave his life for us. Go out with the presence of God and the Holy Spirit and the feeling of Christ always with you. Amen.